Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, BCV. It's great to be with you this morning. My name is Johnny, if you haven't met me before, or if I haven't beamed into your screens before. And it's my privilege this morning to be able to continue in our Advent sermon series. And this morning, I have the privilege of being able to open the scriptures with you guys. We're now in our third Sunday in our Advent season, an Advent season unlike any other that we have faced before. With so much in this year that has gone by that's been swirling and chopping and changing and is still swirling right up to today, how appropriate it is that we are right in the center of a stretch of this year that is all about looking forward with hope. Advent is about hope, about looking forward to the return of Jesus and positioning ourselves in his presence and receiving the peace, joy and love that he offers us as light of the world. And this morning what we're going to be doing is we're going to be diving into a passage of the scriptures that is probably pretty familiar to many of us. Matthew chapter 2 and the story of the Magi, a passage that many of us will probably have heard before. Whether that brings to mind for you memories of a nativity scene in primary school or of a wise man eating a kebab and staring at the stars from a 2019 Christmas service, whatever that brings to mind for you, this is a story that many of us will have heard before. Before we jump into the passage and before we read through Matthew chapter 2, what I want us to do is to just take a moment. And as I said, this is a story that many of us have heard before. I just want us to take a moment and I want you to just picture in your head, bring to mind the images that come to you or the emotions or the thoughts that you associate with this passage. Who are these Magi? If I was to ask you, who are these men in this passage, these wise men that we've heard so much about? What is it that comes to your mind? Just take 5 or 10 seconds and then we'll come back and ask yourself that question. Who are these wise men? Got it? Awesome. Let's read. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through to 11. I'm reading from the NIV version. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you've listened to me share from the scriptures before at all, you'll probably have heard me harking on and on and on about how important it is to set ourselves in the scene that's in front of us, about how important it is to get our minds into the context and the backdrop and the setting that these stories actually happen in. And I want to do that this morning with this passage in Matthew. But while we do that, I want you to just keep in your mind's eye that thought that we looked at before. Who do you think these guys are? What are the memories or images that you associate with these wise men? You see, you are not the only person that has imagined what this scene might have looked like. You, your parents, your grandparents, the generations that have gone before you are not the only people that have imagined what this scene with the wise men, with Herod, with Jesus and Mother Mary might have looked like all those thousands of years before. If we look in the scriptures, we can find before this event actually happened, plenty of examples of people looking forward to see what this scene might look like in the years to come. And one of those examples is found in Psalm 72. Psalm 72 is written by King Solomon. And in verses 10 and 11, King Solomon, who was king over Israel 700 years before this event actually happened with the wise men, looked forward to this moment and imagined what it might look like. And he said this, Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. Kings presenting gifts from far off shores and bowing down before him. It sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? It sounds like something that we read just a moment ago. But Solomon, in his mind's eye, when he imagined what this scene would look like, he imagined kings and nations bowing down and worshipping him. He imagined that this promised Messiah who would come would bring with him these hordes of kings and nations who would bow down and worship him and bring him gifts. But who really were these magi? What's really going on in this scene in Matthew chapter 2? Well, magi were not an uncommon group of people 2,000 years ago. These guys would have been feared by the masses. The name magi actually comes from the idea of magic. These guys were believed to carry with them an authority to hear from the gods of the time. In the mindset of people 2,000 years ago, the gods that they were following spoke to them through the stars. And yes, I say gods because it wasn't the God of the scriptures that these guys would have been following. They were from a far off land in the distant east, and they would have believed that the gods spoke to them through the stars. And you have to try and imagine a time before Hubble telescope, a time before SpaceX and space travel, a time before we had some idea what was going out there. For them, in this setting, they would have looked up to the night sky, and the dots above them that changed from night to night would have seemed so curious and strange. And the people of the time believed that the gods spoke through the stars. The magi that we meet in this passage, they were the people who were able to read the stars and hear from the gods that the people believed were behind them. These men that we meet in this passage were believed to carry divine insight and knowledge given to them from the skies above. But the people around them wouldn't have been like, these guys are a bit strange. You know, I personally studied GCSE astronomy, and everyone in my year, it was a pretty cool GCSE, but everyone in my year thought it was a little bit weird and super into the stars. And they're kind of like, those guys who do astronomy, they're a little bit weird and they're really obsessed with stars. That's not what's going on here with these magi. These guys were super feared by everyone around them because their voice carried power and authority. And that's why we see King Herod and the whole nation of Jerusalem getting almost terrified whenever these guys turn up and say there's a new king that's been born. These men seeking the newborn king had been reading the stars and were believed to have been given divine insight from the gods of the time. But these are the guys who are the first people to worship Jesus here on earth. These are the guys who are the first ones to have been recorded to worship King Jesus. These guys are the unexpected, expected worshippers. King Solomon in the Psalm 72 expected the kings of the day to bow down and worship. Israel would have had a similar mindset. Kings and nations would have been expected to come and worship. But what we have in this passage is Yahweh, the one true God of the scriptures, the God of our scriptures, the one who is the beginning and the end, speaking to pagan star worshippers from a far off land, way off in the east, guys who probably didn't even know that our God was the one true God. Coming from this unspecified place and not even mentioned place in the passage, so that they would be the ones, perhaps without even really knowing what was going on, who would hear God, who would follow him by reading these stars, to go to Bethlehem, a small town, and become the first ones to bow down and worship. These were not the expected kings. These were not the expected nations. These magi were the unexpected, expected worshippers. But these are the men that God chooses for this moment. And in this moment, with the unexpected, expected worshippers, these magi bring him the gifts that many of us will have heard time and time again: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But once again, there's more going on here than meets the eye. You see, to us, the idea of being given a block of gold and some nice smelling scents on Christmas morning is a really strange idea. Like, can you imagine coming down your Christmas stockings packed out with a bar of gold and some weird resins that smell nice? It'd be kind of cool for a moment, but then you'd be like, what on earth do I do with these things? There's more going on here than meets the eye. You see, these gifts have significance beyond just their earthly value. Gold would have been given to a king. And so when these wise men bring gold to baby Jesus, they're pointing out that he is the king. And frankincense was a resin that was used in the tabernacle and the temple as part of the fragrances that would have been burned by the priests of the time. Frankincense points towards Jesus as the high priest. And myrrh, well, myrrh had many different uses, but if you look in the book of Exodus, it actually was one of the resins that would have been used to make up the anointing oil that got placed upon priests and kings, but it was also used as a medicine and an anointment to embalm the dead. In these gifts brought by these pagan worshippers, these guys who didn't even probably know who this Jesus really was, there is a recognition and an identification of his kingship, his priesthood, and the reality that in his death, he would bring healing to the nations in and through his death and resurrection. These unexpected, expected worshippers, these magi who were not the guys who should have been on this scene, are the first guys to worship and acknowledge who Jesus truly is. King Herod is nowhere to be seen in this manger. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, nowhere to be seen. The religious top dogs, the powerful rulers, nowhere to be seen. Instead, we have these outsiders being brought in. These outsiders from far off lands bringing their gifts, knowingly or unknowingly naming Jesus' identity in this very, very moment. God was bigger than the boxes that people would have placed him in. God was bigger than the boxes of King Herod, of the nation of Israel, of the chief priests and the teachers of the law. To me, this idea of these unexpected worshippers being from a foreign land, being from a place where they're probably pagan star readers, it actually feels unorthodox. It almost feels scandalous. But yet God pulled together all these moving pieces in this story to fulfill these promises that were expected in the most unexpected ways. God is working out his purposes, but the way that he does it does not have to fit in the boxes that he should do it in. For the mind's eye of the nation of Israel, for the mind's eye of King Solomon, King Herod, and everyone who would have been seen to be important, God was not doing this in the way that he should have. God took the boxes of the people at the time and he broke right out of them. But that same God is the God that we worship today, BCV. God is still bigger than our boxes today. That God that pulled together the unexpectedly expected worshippers in these magi 2,000 years ago is that same God that we follow today. This Advent, this December in 2020, God is still bigger than our boxes this morning, BCV. Far, far bigger than the boxes that we place them in. The story of the magi this first Christmas, it gives us a way of understanding that our God is way bigger than we sometimes give him credit for. It gives us insight right at the start, right at the moment where he steps down into flesh, that God, the God that we follow as a church, is the one who goes after those who don't fit. Our God is the God who from day one was turning the normal on its head. He brings the outsiders in. He brings the pagans who are from a far off nation in to be the first ones to worship him. And maybe for you this Advent season, you felt like the one who doesn't fit. Maybe for you over the last number of months, you've felt a bit like an outsider. Maybe you felt like the one who's too far removed. Perhaps you feel like you just don't really get it. Like you look at the church and you look at these people that follow Jesus and you're like, you guys just seem to have it all together. You guys seem to understand how this thing works. And you're always feeling like you're looking in from the outside. But yet you're still here this morning. You're still here wondering, what if I could feel like I'm one of the insiders? What if I could feel like I'm one of the in crowd? Well, what if this Advent was an opportunity for you to recognize, maybe for the first time, that that feeling of what if I could be on the inside was actually a desire that God has placed there? What if this Advent, God was trying to speak to you through that curiosity? Like these men watching the stars from far off lands, what if God was speaking to us from behind them? Maybe we should follow that star that we think he's speaking to us through. What if this little prompting that was within you to become one of those outsiders was actually God simply drawing you in? Because our God, the God that we follow, is a God with a heart disposition set on bringing the outsider in. And that's so evident in this first Christmas. But for some of us this morning, or maybe for many of us on here, we've been following Jesus for a while now, perhaps years, maybe even decades. This story, if you find yourself in that box, speaks to us as a reminder of how God is not limited by the boxes that we put him in. The kingdom that we are part of, BCV, the kingdom that you are part of if you've chosen to follow Jesus, is a kingdom that is upside down and inside out. When we feel like we've got there, so often it's because there's more to learn. Where might God be longing to reveal more of himself to you this Advent season? Where might he be inviting you to let your boxes be broken down? Where is it perhaps you've begun to think over the years or the decades of following him that you know how God works? You know what's coming next. You know what to expect. Where do you need to open yourself up to having your paradigms for what God can do expanded and increased? That you would be able to prepare your heart this Advent season for greater revelation of him as we come to the end of 2020. In and through this story with the Magi, God reveals his identity in Jesus in the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is it or where is it that God could be inviting you to let the boxes be broken down so that he can reveal more of his identity to you this Advent season? Perhaps for you, it's a stirring within your heart that you've never felt or known before, and you just can't seem to shake it. And no matter what you say or what you do, it's there. This feeling of like, I'm not okay with this thing the way it is. But you've been fixed in your lane for so long, and it feels like God would never ask you to step outside of it. It feels like God would not have you kind of step aside for what you've been doing for so, so long before. But maybe that's God inviting you into something different. This Advent, God is still on the move. Where it might be easier this year than others to give in to a lack of hope, where it might be a difficult winter or a difficult season in comparison to the years gone before, we can still hope. We can still trust this Advent, BCV, because we know that the God that we follow, the one that we long for this Advent, is the one who uses the conventional and the unconventional, the expected and the unexpected, the insider and the outsider to carry through on the promises that he says. And as I was writing this morning, just kind of preparing for this, I just had a real sense that God wanted to speak to three distinct groups of people. And so as we come in for a landing, I would love to just spend a little bit of time speaking into some of the situations that I really felt like God was highlighting. I had a real sense that there would be someone out here listening to this being streamed this Sunday morning. And over the last number of months, there's been this almost frustration or stirring within your heart that's brewing within you to love and support those who have been seeking safety and asylum in our country. And you've been almost annoyed at the frustration that's brewing up within you because it seemed so out of the blue. It seemed so out of the ordinary and unexpected. And I had a real sense this morning that you needed to hear that that is Jesus. You needed to hear not to let that thing slide. Do not shrug it off. Do not feel like it's coming from some far off place trying to derail you or take you off your path. That is God. Go for it. Run after it. He's got more of his heart for you and himself in there. And then I had a sense that there was going to be someone listening to this who for you, you feel like God's kind of gone silent. The last couple of months or maybe years has just been a a season of real like frustration at the silence that God has not been speaking to you. And you're at your wit's end with this sense that God, like, where are you? I'm still here. I feel alone. I feel left. I feel abandoned. And I had this sense that God was saying to you two words, look up. And with the backdrop of this story and the wise man, I just had this sense that God was inviting you to hear from him in new ways. Just like these men heard from God in the stars, the God that they didn't even know was behind them. I feel like God was saying to you, look up and look around. There are other ways that I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you through nature. I want to speak to you through creation. I want to speak to you through the beauty of a sunrise and the simple things in your everyday. And he wanted to tune a new frequency into you to be able to hear his voice in ways that perhaps you've never been able to before. And then finally, I had a sense for someone out there this morning that this idea of being an outsider to the people of God, that this idea of being outside and always looking in is something that you've wrestled with for years. It's something that you felt for so long and you struggle with it on your own and you've never felt like you've had the space to speak it out. You've always had this desire to be on the inside. You've watched the church, you've watched the people of God, but you've always disqualified yourself because you felt like you just wouldn't fit. For you this morning, I just had a sense that God wanted to meet you in that and that he was inviting you to open yourself up to him, perhaps for the first time. And so if you're out there and you're feeling that, would you just pray this prayer with me as we come towards a close? Pray with me if you feel like this is for you. Lord Jesus, I am open to you. Come and reveal yourself to me. Come speak to me. As you spoke to those who were on the outside this first Christmas, I pray that you would come and speak to me this Advent, that I would hear your voice and that you would prepare my heart to know you and understand more of who you are. Amen. If you prayed that this morning and you feel that sense of wanting to be on the inside, welcome in. You're on the inside. I would love to hear from you if you prayed that this morning. And so you can reach out to me at johnny@belfastcityvineyard.com. I would love to connect with you and hear some more of your story. And so let's just pray as we come in for a landing. Let's just pray over each of those groups and everything else that comes up as we do. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the God who speaks through the conventional and the unconventional. You're the God who breaks down the boxes and does not always fit into the ways that we expect you to. That this first Christmas, you revealed that you were for the outsider, that you were reaching outside of the bounds of what people put you in. And so, Lord, reveal more of yourself to us this Advent. Help us to see more of your identity as we let ourselves view you in ways that perhaps we've never done before. And where we feel like we are on the outside, Lord, remind us, speak to us from this story, and remind us that you are the God who brings the outsider in. We love you. In your name, amen. Thanks, guys. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.